Okay, today's daf is Makos daf Chaf Aleph. We're almost done. I think we start Shavuos on Shavuos B'Tamos, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, so Makos daf Chaf Aleph, we left off about 10 lines before the end of the page in daf Chaf Amud Beis. We're discussing the Mishnah had said, continuing the list of things for which one gets Malkos. So the Mishnah has said that the Isser of Bal Takif, of being Makif, the Peos HaRosha person gets Malkos, and the Isser of Hashchasas Hazakan, a person gets Malkus for as well. So we are at the two dots, not the last two dots on the page, but two lines above that, which Hamashchus Pa'as Zikno. So it says in Maratan Rabban, Pa'as Zikno, Sov Zikno. Pa'as Zikno means the Pe'ah, like we said yesterday, always means a corner, it means the end. So Pa'as Zikno means the end of the beard. Ve'ezehu Sov Zikno, Shibola Zikno. What's the end of the beard? The Shibola Zikno. So what does that mean? So if you look at Rashi, three lines from the bottom of the page, Kulu Chamesh Peos, the Kachashab Masisim, Bichal Shibola Seim. What does Shibolas mean? Well, the five places that are mentioned in the Mishnah are all included in the term Shibola. So that's what Pa'as Zikno means. Those five places that the Mishnah mentions. There are five corners of the face. The face is much more angular, so the five places where the angle is exactly cut. Now that itself is a major machlokas. The Gemara, the Mishnah defines it. The Gemara tries to redefine it even further, but still, it's a major machlokas exactly where those five places are. And that's why our minhag is we stay away from using a razor at all. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch says that that even under the chin, you shouldn't use it. So some people, I've gotten the shayla a couple of times. People ask if they can use a razor on their neck, and it makes them feel comfortable and they use the razor on their neck. I don't know, I'm not comfortable saying at any spot that it's not considered under the chin. So some people find it much more comfortable, but I don't know, I wasn't comfortable with the idea that you can use under the chin. It doesn't say how far down under the chin. So that's I think the Minhag Yisrael is that we're very careful about using a razor anywhere in our faces. That we don't use a razor anywhere in our faces. Okay, so the Mishnah went on to say Vamasari Tzrita Achas, that a person whose Misari Tzrita Achas makes a cut as a sign of Avelis. Tanraban Besarat, Yachla Fi Besarat Al Beso Shanaf Al Vasfinaso Shetava Bayam. One might think a person is Chayiv Malkus even if he cuts himself, not because of someone who died, but rather because of his house that fell down or his boat that sank in the sea. Talmud Lomar Lanefesh. Eino Chayiv El Ala Meis Bulvad. That's why the Pasuk says Lanefesh, to tell us that you're only Chayiv for a cut that one makes in this, as a sign of mourning for someone who died. It doesn't say it has to be a karov for anybody who died. A person is chayiv. How do I know that if you do five sritos on a single mace that you're chayiv for each and every one of them? Rabbi Yossi Omer, how do I know that if it's one cut for five mesim, they chayiv individually for each one? Not only are you chayiv for each mesa, you're chayiv for each mace on behalf of whom that mesa is done. Wait a second. You're using the same word for two different drushas. You already used, you're telling me right now that the word lanefesh is to teach me that you're chayiv for each and every life that was lost for which you are cutting yourself, but we already used the word lanefesh to tell me that you're only chayiv if you cut as a result of a death, not as a result of tavis finaso or of nafla beso. How can you use the same word to teach me both? So why don't we just say, well, these are two different shitos. There's Rabbi Yossi over here. Rabbi Yossi's talking now. The braisa before was Tanakama. Now it's Rabbi Yossi who says, Minayin l'masayit shitachas. So why don't we just go with that? So Rashi explains that you can't say that. If you look at the bottom of Rashi, ha'afikti, the base of Shnafa, last Rashi on the page, v'havvadei Rabbi Yossi lo palugbahi, the heichi emotzi ha'pasuk midei pshuto. There's no doubt that Rabbi Yossi doesn't disagree with what we said before, because that's really just pshuto shel mikra. We have a rule that in a mikra yosei midei pshuto. So if you're going to use anything to darshan, you have to darshan the pshuto shel mikra in terms of halacha. When I say darshan, I mean in terms of halacha. If you're going to derive any halacha from the pasuk, it should first and foremost be the halacha that could be derived from pshuto shel mikra before you get into fancier drashos. So Rabbi Yossi has to agree with the Tanakhama. That's the halacha that would emerged just from pshuto shel mikra. So answers the Gemara, because of Rabbi Yossi, srita v'gedida achasi. Rabbi Yossi holds that srita and gedida are the same thing. Uksiv hasam lemeis, and it says by gedida lemeis. So that's how I know. So there's a separate drasha that tells me that you chayiv for each and every person on behalf of whom you're doing the srita. If you look at Rashi again, kusavir bios srito gedida achasi de travayu bein biyad bein bekli, that you're chayiv for both, whether you do it with your hand or whether you do it with a kli. Uksiv begedida lemeis lo siskodidu lo sasimukarcha, and it says by gedida lemeis lo siskodidu lo sasimukarcha. Fine. So right, that's the lashon of the pasuk is banu atem lashem elkechem. Right, the word lemeis appears in that pasuk. Fine, so says the Gemara Vayter. Amar Shmuel, hamisarit bekli chayiv. If a person cuts themselves with a kli, they're going to be chayiv. Now that so frankly, Gemara meisve srita gedida achasi. But didn't we say srita and gedida are the same thing? Elisha srita biyad gedida bekli. The only difference being that srita is done by hand and gedida is done by kli. So how could you say that misarit bekli is chayiv? The definition of gedida is bekli. The definition of srita is biyad. And Sigmar Hudam Rabbi Yossi is assuming like Rabbi Yossi that they could both be done bekli. If you look at again at Rashi hamisarit bekli chayiv havvade pshita lekuli alma the ikur gedida mashma bekli the ikur srita mashma biad. This is not debatable that the word gedida generally means cutting with a kli. Srita generally means scratching, right, with your hands. V'kamer Shmuel amasarit kli al hameis chayiv. So Shmuel says, if you scratch with a kli for a dead body, for someone who died, you're going to be chayiv. V'lo kamer amagadid b'kli. Why doesn't he use the more appropriate term? That when you cut yourself with a kli, you're megadid b'kli? Because gedida, everyone agrees, pasha pshat, is using a kli. Why would he use the term misarit b'kli? Lashmin the shame srita shaykh b'kli. So that's what Shmuel's trying to teach me. That even when you use a kli, it could also be called srita. Va'osa chabur ba'atzmo b'kli alameis chayiv shnei lavin. And therefore, if you use a kli in order to wound yourself after someone dies, you're chayiv for two separate lavin. Misha mesareit u misha megadeid. Both for srita and gedida. The gedida is srita achasi. Because the travayu bein biyad bein b'kli. Because they're the same. They both apply whether you do it by hand or whether you do it by kli. So that's what the Gemara asked on that. The Gemara said, wait a second, we say that they're achasi, but achasi just means they produce the same result, but they have a major difference between them. And that is that srita is biyad and gedida is bekli. And that's a kashan Shmuel, because Shmuel said they're both bein biyad, bein bekli. So we answer that no, Damak Rabbi Yossi, that Rabbi Yossi holds that srita and gedida are both bein biyad, bein bekli. Fine, says the Gemara Vayter, five lines in. Tani Tanaka made Rabbi Yochanan. Al meis bein biyad bein bekli chayiv. If a person scratches himself, cuts himself on a dead body because someone died, whether it be biyad, whether it be bekli, person is chayiv. Al avodas kochavim biyad chayiv bekli patim. But for avodah zara, if a person cuts himself as a sign of avodah zara, so only if he does it biyad he's chayiv. If he does it bekli, he's patim. Meaning there is a certain avodah zara that it's avodaso bekach, that the way they do the avodah is by cutting it by cutting their own skin. So if you do it biyad, you're going to be chayiv. If you do it bekli, you're going to be pater, because the derech avoda of that particular avodah zara was only biyad. So that's why you're only going to be chayiv if you do it biyad. But it says kimishpatam, which implies that we're talking about cutting that's done for avodah zara, and it starts describing utensils that you use to do the cutting. You use different knives and whatever to do the cutting. So don't you see that for avodah zara it's bekli? Ella ema biyad pater bekli chayiv. So rather, you have to flip it. You have to say avodah zara. If you do it biyad, it's pater. That's not the derech avodah. You do it bekli, you're going to be chayiv. If you look at Tosfos, al avodas chavim biyad chayiv, says Tosfos pirsha kuntrus chayiv misa, that a person is going to be chayiv misa. Af he changes the bach, changes it to af shelo bikidarka. The lucky shalok kedarka milosa avde misera bekli pater de eno bechlal avoda de eno el biyad. So he says that the way he understands it is if you do it biyad, you're chayiv, even if it happens to not be b'kedarka. But b'yad, since it's normally the derech, you're going to be chayiv misa b'yad, and you're going to be loka if it's shalo kedarka from the extra losa of deim. But clearly you're going to be pater because it's not even called avoda. It's not even called that you're doing the avoda. So but clearly you're going to be pater entirely. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Now these next few lines of the Gemara are critical lehalacha. The chayiv al rosh. Well, next few lines after these next two or three lines. V'chayev al rosh, yichayev for hakafas al rosh. Machvi Rav Sheshes bein Pirkei Reishos. Rav Sheshes demonstrated exactly where the spots are on the head. The two where bein aprakim, right, where it connects, as we described yesterday, from the head hair to the beard hair. V'al zaken shtayim mikan v'shtayim mikan v'achsim l'mata. Machvi Rav Sheshes bein Pirkei Diknos. Rav Sheshes demonstrated what exactly the five spots are on the beard. Rav Lozer amrim nitlan. So the Mishnah went on to say that Rav Lozer holds that if you remove them all, if you remove the peos all at the same time, if you're nitlan bebas achas, einu chay vela achas, so you're only going to be chayv one time. So says the Gemara, kasavar chad lavu, he holds that all of them is one lav. It's not a violation of separate lavin, it's all one lav. So therefore, you're only going to be chayv once for removing all of them at the same time. Ve'einu chay vachi yitlanu betar. So here it is. This is the sugya in Shas that is the most, the primary sugya regarding hashchasas hazaken, regarding shaving the beard. And this is this sugya is going to be critical in terms of determining whether and which electric shavers may or may not be used. Right, so says the Gemara, Tan Rabban, Pasakan Melo Yigalechu, Yachla Filu Gilchu Bimisparayim Yechayiv. One might think that even if you are Migaleach using scissors, you should be Chayiv. Tamarlam Lo Sashchis. That's why he says Lo Sashchis, that you only can't be do a Hashchasa. Ilo Sashchis Yachalim Likto Bimelakit for a Hitni Yechayiv. If the Isser is one of Hashchasa, well, what destroys the hair more, a razor blade or a tweezer? So if you take it out with a tweezer where it literally pulls the hair out from its root, I might think you'd be chayiv. That's why the pasuk says lo yigalechu. That yeah, pulling with a tweezer is more destructive to the hair, but it's not a giluach. Giluach is defined as using some sort of blade. Haketzad giluach sheyesh po hashchasa. Haviomer zetar. That in order to be chayiv, you need to do a giluach that involves hashchasa. And what is giluach sheyesh po hashchasa? Tar. Using a razor is giluach sheyesh po hashchasa. Question is, what does the Gemara mean by that? Does the Gemara mean that a razor is the only implement that accomplishes giluach sheyesh po hashchasa? Or maybe anything that does the same thing a razor does in terms of providing a very close shave is also giluach sheyesh po hashchasa. It's a maisa giluach because it's a normal way of shaving, and it's yesh po hashchasa because it provides a very close shave. So that's the primary question that the poskim deal with. You hear about poskim that are makel with electric shavers, poskim that are machmer with electric shavers. The primary question that they deal with, that they argue about, the root of all the machlokas, is the isser one of process or is it one of result? Is it one that when you're left with the result of hashchasa, you're left with the result of a very clean shave, or is it one of process, the way that it actually goes about cutting? If it's one of result, then electric shavers are going to be problematic, because electric shavers tend to provide a very, very nowadays at least, when they first came out, they didn't so much apparently, but nowadays they provide a very close shave. So if it's a result, it's a very similar result to the one that you'll get from a razor. If it's one of process, though, the way that most of them work are different than the way a razor works. The Gemara says, Beferish using scissors is okay. Well, what's the definition of a scissor? A scissor is you have two blades working against each other, and that's how the cutting is done. So if the scissors have two blades working against each other, so if the shaver, rather, has two blades working against each other, and that's what does the cutting, so then it's going to be, then that result is going to, is that process is not part of the isser. Okay, so that obviously we're well aware that Rav Moshe was the big makel in America, and that's why Rav Moshe and Rav Soloveitchik were both makel, and that's why most of the American Orthodox community holds that it's mutter to use electric shavers. In Eretz Yisrael, there weren't so many makelim, so there are a lot of people in Eretz Yisrael that hold that it's not mutter to use shavers. Happens to be, if you check the blades of the shaver, the way some describe Rav Moshe Shita, There's always a little confusion about that also. But the way that some describe Rav Moshe Shita is that the way to determine whether it uses a scissor action or whether it uses a single blade, because sometimes it might have a scissor action, but it might be cut already by the first blade, even without the force of the second blade. So they say, the way they say from Rav Moshe is if you take the blade, and he would take the blade from the inside of the shaver, pull out a strand of his beard, and just touch it with the blade and see if it sliced it. And then if it sliced it right away, then it was a problem. If it didn't slice it, then it wasn't a problem because the blade wasn't sharp enough. And most of the time, it didn't slice it because the blades are actually not all that sharp. Usually, they do use some sort of... and obviously, the big shaila with the lift and cut. Lift and cut, if you're concerned about result, so even if you hold other shavers, don't give the same result, but you buy the advertising about the lift and cut that actually lifts and... you know, cuts from the, and then it sinks back underneath. Then the result is really considered like the result of a shaver. Rabelsky, in one of his articles on the topic, says that that in spite of the advertising, the speed at which the shaving happens challenges, you know, one's imagination to believe that all of that is actually happening within that time frame. So I think Rabbi Rappaport is Rav Moshe's grandson, lives in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Talmud's son-in-law, I think. Rabbi Rappaport, he did the major research on this topic, on the topic of shaving with electric shavers. He writes that that if you want to know how a shaver works, you can't look at the advertising. You have to look at the patent requests. And that's what he did. He goes over the patent requests to see what the shaver actually does and actually accomplishes. Okay, so I know Rabbi Willig, if you ask him if you can show him your shaver to see if it's mutter, he says, yeah, it's mutter. So, you know, you don't have to actually show him the shaver. He automatically says mutter. So I asked Rav Schechter once what he holds about all this, and he says, Rabbi Willig holds it's mutter, and I don't really understand how all this works, so I just trust him. Very unusual for Rav Schechter. He says, I trust Rabbi Willig knows what he's doing, and he says that it's mutter. Okay, fine. So, more complicated discussion. It requires more lengthy discussion. Maybe Shal should is tomorrow or something. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Rabbi Lazar Omer, afilu laktu b'malakit v'rehit nichayiv. Even if a person takes that with a tweezer, you're going to be chayiv. Manavshach. I gamer gzeres shavali ba'itar. I lo gamer gzeres shav misparayim nami. So if he learns the gzeres shav, then you should require a dafka razor to be chayiv. And if he doesn't learn the gzeres shav, then scissors also should be enough to be chayiv. So says Malo, liyalam gamer gzeres shav, v'ksavar hani nami gilu achavdi. He does learn the gzeres shav, he holds that these implements also accomplish what's called giluach. So that's also considered to be a giluach. And therefore, he holds you're going to be chayiv, right? The gzeir shav we're referring to is gzeir shav of peya, right? The connection between the peya sarosh and peya sazakan. Good, says the Gemara Vayter. Mishnah rather. Hakosev ksuvus kaka. If a person writes tattoo writing, kasev lo kakea, kakea velo kasev. If he writes it without, Rashi explains the process. Important to understand the process in order to understand the Mishnah. Rashi says, kosev tchila al besaro. You first write on your flesh, besamo besikra, with some type of dye. Va'achar kach mekakea habasar b'machat. And then you slice the skin open with a needle, o besakin or with a knife. And the coloring goes between the skin and the flesh. And it appears it's visible on your skin for the rest of your life. Kakea puntarir va'asur lichtov shum ksiva ba'olam al basaro b'inyan zeh shakach gzeres hakasev. You're not allowed to write on your skin in this way ever. Why? Gzeres HaKasav, because that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu says. That's what the Torah says, so you're not allowed to do that. So now, what does the Mishnah mean? Kasav lo kakeya, so if he writes, but he doesn't cut to allow the ink to sink in underneath the skin above the flesh, kakeya lo kasav, or he cuts to allow but he doesn't actually write with the ink himself, enu chai v'achyichto v'yikakeya biyado, you're only going to be chayiv if you wrote and did the cutting with your hand. He changes it bidyo, not biyado, bidyo, with ink, ubikhol, or with other type of coloring agent, or anything that leaves its mark. But you have to do both parts of the process in order to be chayiv. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Shimon Omer Einu Chai Ad Sheyichtov Sham Es Hashem Shnemar Ksuvus Kakel Ositnu Bechem Ani Hashem. That you're only going to be chayv if you write the shame. So what does it mean if you write the shame? You're only chayv if you write the shame. Says Rashi Mefarish B'Gemara the shame of Avodas Chavmuka Amar. That it means if you write the shame of an avodah zarah. It doesn't mean if you write the shem Hashem, and that's why after it tells you the issur in the Torah of giving a tattoo, it says ani Hashem. It follows up with ani Hashem to say, remember, you have to be dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to the avodah zarah, by tattooing a shem avodah zarah in your skin. Now I keep saying Rashi. It's not Rashi anymore. I failed to point out a couple of days ago. Rashi died a couple of days ago. As he was writing the Perish on the Daf a couple of days ago, in Yotessam and Beis, toward the top of the page, it says in parentheses, Rabbeinu Gufo Tahar, V'yatsa Nishmaso B'Tahara. Rashi's body is Tahar, and his Neshama left B'Tahara. Lo Pirish Yoser Mikan Ve'elach Lashon Talmido Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nasan. He didn't give any more Perish on the Masechta, and from here on in, from the last five blot of Maseches Makos, is the Rivan. So everything we've been reading in Rashi, so to speak, is not really Rashi, it's the Rivan, Rashi's son-in-law. He finished up Rashi's Perish for him. So that's important to note. Okay. So says the Gemara Vayter. Says the Gemara, Amar le'Ravacha b'rei d'Rava l'Ravashi. Ad yichtov ani Hashem mamish? Does he actually have to write? We gave it away already with the Rivan, but the Gemara already says, what, you're only chayv for a tattoo if you actually tattoo God's name into your skin. You have to write ani Hashem mamish. Amar, right? It's all the rage in Kabbalah to tattoo the Shem Hashem in one's skin. So there are people that actually do this, that actually violate this iser. But is that really what you need? Amar le lo. So he says no. Kedatani bar kapara einu chayv. No, what he really meant is that you're only going to be chayv when you write the shem of Avodah Zarah. Shneamar, k'suvus kakel ositnu b'chem ani Hashem. Ani Hashem v'lo acher. The point is ani Hashem, but nobody else. Don't be tattooing the names of other gods of Avodah Zarah in your skin. Sounds like a tremendous kula. That you're only going to be chayiv if you tattoo, so a tattoo of anything else, of a picture, any other words, any Chinese symbols or whatever the common tattoos are, those are all okay. So says Rashi, Rivan, keep saying that, says Rivan, three lines after the commentary to the Gemara begins, Umiyu asu lichtov shum ksiva ba'olam, afil Rabbi Shimon, elad chiv malkus leka. No, of course it's asr, and it's asr midaraisa. It's just that there's no chiv malkus. And he says, you're not chayv. He doesn't say eno asr. He says, you're not chayv until you write with the shame. But not that it's not asr until you write the shame. Fine. Amr of Malkia, Amr of Ad Barava. It's also for a person to take Efer Makla, to take certain types of ashes and put it over a wound, because it's going to get inside the skin and it's going to leave a roshem, even though it doesn't look like a picture of anything or words of anything, but it leaves a roshem, it's going to leave a mark in the skin permanently, and that looks like suvus kaka, because that looks like you're putting some sort of dyeing agent underneath your skin. That is the statement of Rav Malkia. Amar Rav Nachman Breid Ravika, Shvud Shvachos Vegumos Rav Malkia. He says it gets a little confusing because there are two Amoraim, one is named Rav Malkia, one is named Rav Malkio. So he says if you everyone, and each of them said three things. So if you want to know who said what, who's the author of which statements in Shas, the statement about Shvud, Shvachos, and Gumos are all Rav Malkiyo, Baloris, Efer Makla, Ugvina, Rav Malkiya. But the statements about Baloris, Efer Makla, and Gvina are Rav Malkiyo. What are all these statements? So Rivan explains each one. Shvud is in Maseches Beitza, where the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, in Maseches Beitza, Shvud Shet Salubo Basar, that a spit that was used to roast meat on, you're not allowed to be metaltalit on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to handle it. Amra Malki, Amra Vada, Vishamto Manicha Bekaren Zavis. But you can remove the meat from the spit and put it off in a corner. Now that is the statement of Rav Malkiyo, right? So it happens to be in Amorah. Now the Gemara is going to distinguish in a second between Shmaitza, that which we say is based on an Amoraic statement, and Masnisanu Masnisa, and that which is based on a Tanaic statement. Now, that distinction is not whether Rav Malkiah or Rav Malkiah were Amoraim or Tanaim. They were clearly Amoraim. The question is, what were they commenting on? Were they commenting on statements of Amoraim, or were they commenting on statements of Tanaim? So in this case, it started with Shmuel's statement about a Shvud, and Rav Malkiah was commenting on that. So that's clearly a statement of Amoraim. Good. Shvachos. The case of Shvachos is a Mishnah Meseches Ksubos, Parakaf Alpi Meseches Ksubos, that Reb Elezer says, even if a guy brings in 100 Shvachos, still the woman should do certain basic chores around the house, because Batala, a woman not doing anything, or anybody for that matter, not doing anything, just being Mevatal at time, is Mevilin de Zimas, Mevilin de Shigaon. It makes a person lead the person to Znus, leads a person to go crazy. And over there, Amr of Malkiyah, Amr of Adah, Halach, Rabbi Eliezer. He says, we pass like Rabbi Eliezer. Now that clearly was on Masnisin. That was commenting on a statement of Rabbi Eliezer the Tana. So that's clearly a Mishnaic type of comment that Rav Malkiah says. Gumos. The case of Gumos is when the Gemara discusses how you determine that a person has reached the stage of godless. So he said, so Rav Chelbo Amar Rav Huna, Namora said, that Shtei Sarah Shamru, you need them to come out of pores. You need them to have gumos from which the two hairs that make a person a gadol grow from. Rav Malkiyos says, not only do it's the gumos are not only important in that the hairs must come out from them, but no, the gumos even without the hairs are enough to be a simen gadlus. Once you see the gumos from which the hairs should grow or would normally grow, that itself is enough to create a simen gadlus. But Lotus is a Masech Avod Zara that an Ovid Kochavim. The halacha is there's a certain type of haircut that a Jew is not allowed to get, a haircut called the Baloris haircut. So what's the shear of the Baloris haircut? So it's Rav Malkiyo says Amravada Shalosh is Baos, and that's a comment on the Brisa which originally spoke about the Baloris haircut. Efer Makla is our discussion about the Efer Makla on a wound that's probably going to leave a mark. And Gvina, the Mishnah Maseches in Maseches Avod Zara again tells us that Gvinas Akum is Aser, but the Mishnah says Gvinos Pesu Nike, and the Gemara asks, "My time, Amr of Malki, Amr of Adam Nesha Machlikin. Why is Gvinos Pesu Nike Aser?" So he explains because they would smooth it out using Chazer Shmelz. They were a Machlikin Panel B'Shuman Chazir. They would make it look shiny. They would shine up the cheese using Chazer Shmelz, and that's where Malki. That was Ramalkiyo's contribution. So again, that was also commenting on the Mishnah. Good. So now, says the Gemara, if we can define the statements that Shvud, Shvachos, and Gumos are of Malkiyah, Balor, Sefer Malkiyah, Gavina are of Malkiyah, Rav Papa Amar, Masnisin Umasnisa Rav Malkiyah, Shmaitza Rav Malkiyah. He says, not exactly. It doesn't exactly divide up along those lines. Rather, Masnisin Umasnisa are all authored by Rav Malkiyah, meaning those comments that were made on Mishnayos and Brisos were authored by Rav Malkiyah, and Shmaitza, those comments that were made on Gemaras were authored by Rav Malkiyah. Now, all he's really doing is he's taking one away from Rav Malkiyah, because there are four that are comments on Mishnayos or Brisos, and only two that are on Shmaitzos, so he's removing one. So, and that's what the Gemara says, V'simunayich masnisa malkso, my benai, what's the nafkamina between these two ways of presenting who's Rav Malkiyah, who's Rav Malkiyah? Ikabinai shvachos. All he's done by saying that masnisa masnisa, shvachos was an example of masnisa masnisa, so he's transferred that from Rav Malkiyah, from Rav Malkiyah to Rav Malkiyah. Right, that's all he's done. Shvachos is the only nafkamina. Rashi has another day. Rivan has another day that he quotes that maybe no, two of them are really flipped, and there's a trade-off. But the Gemara seems to imply, like the first day, that it's really only one that switches category, because the Gemara looks for the nafkamina says shvachos. So the way the other girsa would say is shvachos u kenegdo, shvachos and the other one that corresponds to it. But then you'd have to match them up in some way. Rabbi Barbai kaper afilu arivdu duksilta. Rav Ashi amar kol makom sheisha makom makasa mochia. That he was makbid even on rivda to kasilta, as in that a type of kli that you would that you would be maka with, that he was makbid not to use that either. Okay, so and you could tell by the wound itself whether it was there was some sort of isser involved or no isser involved in the ashes that you put on the wound or something like that, in and the way the wound was treated. Fine. Mishnah. Nazir shayishos yayin kol yom ein chayev ela achas. A nazir drinks wine all day long. He's only going to be chayev once for drinking wine all day long. Amrlo al tishtal tishtavu shos chayev al kol achas v'achas. But if you continually warn him, don't drink, and he keeps on drinking every time you warn him, don't drink, then he's going to be chayev for each time he received hasra and drank anyway. Hayim etami l'mesim kol yom einu chayev ela achas. A nazir becomes tamei to a dead body all day long. He's only going to be chayev once. But Amr lo, al tatame, but if you keep on warning him, don't become tame, and he continually goes ahead and becomes tame, so then he's going to be chayiv for each and every time that he becomes tame. If he's shaving or cutting his hair all day, he's only going to be chayiv one time. Amr lo, al tegalech, v'hu megaleach, chayiv al kalachas v'achas. But if you tell the Nazir, don't shave, and he continues to shave all day long, so then he's going to be chayiv for each and every time you gave him asra not to do the Maisa Isser, and he ignored the asra and went ahead and did the Maisa Isser anyway. Hayolavish beklayim kalayim. Now, lavish beklayim, this is not talking about a Nazir anymore, right? Rashi points out, echad min ashuk below Nazir. There's no specific Isser for a Nazir to be lavish klayim. There's an Isser for all of Klal Yisrael. Any Jew is not allowed to be lavish klayim. So if a person is lavish beklayim kalayim, einu chayiv ela achas, he's only going to be chayiv once. Amru lo, al tilbash, v'poshet v'lovesh, chayiv al klachas v'achas. They keep telling him, don't wear that klayim, and he takes it off and puts it back on, with each hasra, he puts it back on, so then he's going to be chayiv for each time he puts it back on. The Gemara is going to discuss, wait a second, what about leaving it on? Is leaving it on not a problem? There is not a parallel sugya, but one that also needs to be studied together with this, the Gemara in Brachas Taf Yutes, that talks about if a person is motzei klayim bebigdo, if a person finds klayim in their clothing when they're out in public. So to what extent do you say you're allowed to leave it on rather than take off your clothing? So the pashtus of the Gemara, the way the Gemara seems to conclude over there, is that, truth is two gersos in between Rashi and the Rambam, whether it's or Rashi and the Rambam, or Rashi and the Rosh, I don't remember, two of the Rishonim, whether it's Motzei Klayim Bebigdo, or Motzei Klayim in someone else's Beged. But the assumption is that if a person is Shevi Altaseh, you're allowed to violate an Isser Daraisa B'Shevi Altaseh, rather than compromise human dignity, rather than compromise the Kavod HaBrios. So if it's Shevi Altaseh, the Pashto says that it's okay. If it's Kumvaseh, it's not okay. Then you have to go and actually remove it right there publicly. So if you assume that continuously wearing is Kumvaseh, which Gemara seems to, yes, assume over there, then if it's Shatnes Daraisa, the Chari, you should have to remove it. If it's only Drabanan, so we're making on Isurim Drabanan Bishuk. I actually had this Shaila come up once. Someone told me that a woman came over to another woman in Shul, said, that's a beautiful skirt. Did you happen to buy it at Annie Says or something, whatever it is? And the woman said, yes. She said, oh, I bought it too, and then I got a Shatnes checked. It has Shatnes in it. So what does the woman do? Now she was told that it has shatnas in it. So that's but she's standing there in public, in the middle of shul. So that I never thought that sugi would be halacha l'maisa. But you actually find shatnas in your clothing in a public place. So what do you do? So okay, there are enough sniffim lahakel to allow a woman not to get undressed in public in order to remove the shatnas. Okay, yesh chorish tel mechel v'chayiv lo mishum shmon lavin. A person can plow one row in a field and be chayiv eight times, eight lavin. Number one, a chorish b'shor v'chamar. A person plows with a shor and chamar together. V'hein mukdashin. They happen to be hegdish. So it's a violation of using hegdish. So it's the Sava B'Vchor Shorcha, right, that a person is violating. And Chamar also is Petr Chamar, right? It's a violation of using the Petr Chamar. V'Klayim B'Kerem, and it also happens to be, what are you plowing? You're working on Klayim in a vineyard, so it's Kilei HaKerem that you're working on. U'B'Shvius, and by the way, it also happens to be Shemitah year, when you're not allowed to do Avodah Sakarka B'Chlal. V'Yom Tov, and it's Yom Tov when you're not allowed to be doing plowing. V'Kohen, V'Nazir B'Ves Hatuma, and the guy who's doing it happens to be a Kohen and a Nazir, and it happens to be in a graveyard that he's doing the plowing. So it's a vineyard growing in the graveyard. On Yantif, right, all these factors together, and the guy himself is doing it as a Kohen and a Nazir. Chanani men chachino yomer af halovish klayim. He says, what? You could do another Isra, ninth Isra, while you're doing this, if you're wearing shatnas as you're doing the plowing. So, Amr lo, eno Hashem. He says, well, that's you could do lots of other. You could be eating a cheeseburger too, but that's not part of the plowing. We're trying to come up with how you could, the act of plowing itself is going to lead you to these 80 surim. Amalem afa nazir lo Hashem. So he says it's ain't Hashem. So they said, oh yeah. Well, guess what? Being a nazir is not part of the shame either. That has nothing to do with plowing. That's just your presence in the Beis HaKvaros is what causes the problem when you're a nazir. It has nothing to do with doing the plowing. So if you're gonna, what are the rules over here? If the rules are you're only gonna count those things that have to do with plowing, so take nazir off the list. If the rules are you can include everything, every issue you might possibly be doing, so then put shatnez on the list. Shatnez belongs on the list. Says the Gemara, Amar, we'll read the parentheses the way the Masoros Shas has it on the side. Amar Bibi Amar Avasi Lo Poshet Velovish Mamish Ela Afilu. It's not only if a person is Poshet Velovish. We said in the Mishnah that if you're wearing shatness and you're warned repeatedly, take off the shatness. So if you take it off and keep putting it back on, you're chayv each time you take it off and put it back on. So he says no, it doesn't literally mean that you take it off and put it back on. Ela Afilu Mach. Even if you pull your arm out of the sleeve and put it back in the sleeve, you don't have to remove the whole clothing. Even just pulling your arm out of the sleeve and putting it back in the sleeve, you're going to be chayiv. Machvi ravacha burei de ravikol ilavei Iyulei vafuke. So Rav Acha Brei de Ravika says Iyulei vafuke, that it's putting it in and removing it entirely. Rav Ashi Amar Afilu Lo Sha El Kadei Lifshot Velo Boshchayev. Now, even if you didn't do anything, you didn't put your arm in a sleeve, you didn't take it off, you didn't do anything, all you did is you waited the amount of time it takes to be poshet velovesh, that's enough to be chayiv. So if you keep getting asra, don't wear the shatnez. For every time you get asra, that you waited long enough to have removed the shatnez and put it back on, you're going to be chayiv separately. So just waiting that amount of time, you're going to be chayiv. Frekt tosfos. Afilu lo sha'al hafshit malbush chayiv. Ubelo sha'al lo mischayiv. Sounds like if you don't wait that amount of time, then you're not going to be chayiv. Then you're going to be pater. Velodami din zeh lahacht perek beiz de shvuas. He says, don't compare this din to the din in the second parak of Masech Shvuas that we're going to learn soon. Di bailu mitzarech shehiya lemalkus kabitumas mikdash v'nazir bekever. What about Malkus when it comes to a tamei person going into the mikdash or a nazir going into a beis hakavaros? How long do you have to wait there? So the shema mechayiv below shaha, that the Gemara over there is willing to assume that there is no minimum waiting period, that you could be chayiv even without waiting there for any amount of time. And over here we're saying that you're only going to be chayiv if you wait the amount of time it takes to remove the shatness from you. Why should the din of a nazir in the Beis HaKvaros or a tamei person in the Mikdash be any different than the person wearing shatness in terms of how many malchus you get, or whether you get punished right away for just being there, or you actually need to be shoheh? So he says the lo dami l'shihiyah dahasam. Our case is not at all similar to the shihiyah over there. Since he can get out of there, even though he didn't wait there inside long enough to do hishtachavaos in the Migdash, but he could have gotten out of there and he didn't, Meili is going to be chayiv, no matter how short his stay was. Aval hach, but over here, he finds out he's wearing shatness. Ein lo shuhus lifshot v'lilbosh, if he didn't have a chance to take off the clothing and put on other clothing, he didn't even have time to do it. Ein kan avera acheres, so then he didn't do a new avera. All he's done is a continuation of the previous avera. Da'adayin alavisha rishona kayemes, then it's still considered the first Levisha. Only when he waits long enough to be able to remove the clothing and replace it is that even called a new Levisha. Otherwise, it's just a continuation of the first Levisha. Fine. Says the Gemara Vayter. Yesh Chorish Telem. So we said that you can be Chorish one row in a field and be Chayiv eight Lavin for it. We learned in the Chabura that if a person covers up with dirt, climb in a field to get malchus. Amlan Rabbi Yochanan lav mishal seinu yizu yesh chorish tal mechad v'chayiv lav mishum shmona lavin. Didn't we learn this already in our Mishnah? Because it says you plow one row in a field and you chayiv eight lavin. Achorish b'shor b'chamar v'en mukdashin uklayim b'kerem. So hay chorish to mechayiv mishum klayim hechi mishkachasla. Why is plowing in this sort of klayim? This sort of klayim is planting klayim, doing plowing. What did you do? So lav de michsi ba de dazil must be because you're covering it with dirt as you're going, and that's enough to get malchus. Amalei ilav didalai lachaspa mi mishkachas marganisa tusa. He says, ah, had I not taken off the shard, you never would have found that gem underneath that shard. I mean, you never would have noticed that in the Mishnah. You never would have made that deal had I not made a big deal out of that comment. So Amalei Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan ilav dikilsach kavaraba hav mina masnisa mani Rabbi Kivihi tamar amakayim klaim loke. He says, you know what? Had you not just been praised for understanding Pshat in the Mishnah, I would have said Pshat in the Mishnah is totally different. That our Mishnah that assumes that you get Malkus for Klai Mekarim in this type of situation is assuming like Rabbi Akiva, well, you don't even need to do any Maisa. Just being Mekayim Klai Mekarim is enough. My Rabbi Akiva, where does Rabbi Akiva say? This is Tanya, Benachish, from Achafa Beklaim Loka. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Afra Mekayim. My time with Rabbi Akiva, where does Rabbi Akiva get this din? Titania Sadkal Sizra Klaim, Eliel Zareya, Mekayim Minayin. That only teaches me, Lo Sizra, that you can't plant Klaim. How do I know you can't even be Mekayim Klaim? Tamaloma, that's what the Pazuk says. That's what the pasuk says. Behem techalos sarbiya klaim sad chalos sizra klaim uved klaim shatnas loyala lecha continues. Amle is but it relates the two to each other. Amle ulo actually we'll stop there. Stop there now. We'll continue with the other possible isurim that you might be able to do all at the same time. So,